Welcome to this new IWSC podcast series. For our first interview, we had the chance to interview Joe Fattorini from The Wine Show.
So I have a few questions for our wine competitor of the year. The first one is, how do you feel being awarded as wine competitor of the year? What does it mean for you?
It's a very good question. Surprised. Because I suppose I look around and there are an awful lot of very good wine communicators, and to be chosen, I mean, globally as well. The other people on the shortlist were people I look up to and I read their work, or, you know, I've enjoyed them broadcasting. Ollie Smith I know very well, and I've watched him for a long time. Ian DeGatta, who's really a, you know, he's a properly serious wine writer, whereas I end up going on television and getting locked into barrels. So there is an element of surprise, but also, I know you're not meant to be proud, but I am proud of the work we've done over the last year with The Wine Show, and also it builds on an awful lot of other work. You know, it's 30 years in the wine business, and this was a thing that, you know, you work towards. So it it does feel nice to have the recognition that all that work over such a long time has come together, you know, writing and being a merchant. So, you know, proud and delighted.
How was your love for wine born?
I remember drinking a very smart bottle of Latour 45 when I was 7. Not the whole bottle, but I had some of it. My grandfather was a smallish wine collector. My uncle is a wine merchant. But I never thought I would become a wine merchant. I was going to be a soldier all the way through my career. But even at school, I think it's to do well, it's a bit like being Tiger Woods. It helps if you start when you're very young. And at school, the priests at my school confiscated a wine book when I was 10 because they said it was unsuitable reading for a small schoolboy. So, you know, I was already not an expert, but I knew a lot about wine even as a small boy because I was fascinated in subjects and just enjoyed it. I just found it an interesting thing, and I wasn't drinking it. I found the subject and where it came from and who made it. That was always interesting.
Okay, so what's your goal when you speak about wines? What do you...
On the whole, I tend to take the view that talking about wine is quite a boring thing to do. People will know whether or not they like wine themselves. There isn't an awful lot I can add to... I can help a bit, you know, it goes with this, or have you noticed this quality in a wine? For me, the more interesting thing is to talk about where it comes from, what it represents, what the stories are of the people behind it, especially when those stories aren't always positive ones. There are a lot of boring wine stories. You know, a person with a lot of money spent a lot of money making a lovely wine, which happened to be lovely, and they were very happy with it. It's a very boring story. In the show, and when I've been a journalist, I've always been more interested in stories where a person faced a big challenge and it was very difficult and they overcame it and they grew as a person, and what they have produced has influenced lives and changed the world a little bit. And the long story of wine is about changing the world. It's related to wars and conquest and politics and power and money and saviour. You know, I tried a wine early this year, and this man said it saved his family from starvation in the war because of the calories in it. It was a Vinsanto in Santorini, and that's what I find, and that's the story I would like to bring out. Saying I like wine A more than wine B because it has nicer oak to it is interesting for me, but I don't think it's an interesting story to tell.
So when you drink wine, you also try to integrate the story with what you're drinking.
My poor fiancée, Christina, knows that I rarely open a bottle of wine without books open and the internet open and searching back, who made this? How did they make it? Where did they... What influenced them to make that wine? So I tend to view it as an accompaniment to reading as much as anything else, because that brings it to life, that stimulates the mind as much as the palate, very much so.
Is there a story in particular that really struck you, that you thought was really a good example of how...
Oh, for sure, yeah. And certainly you know, when I was a wine journalist, I used to come across stories every week, and there they were. The ones that were most meaningful were where I used to write for a newspaper in Glasgow, not noted as a great wine drinking area. However, I was constantly amazed at how, you know, I remember doing a tasting once for some homeless people who are not known for necessarily being wine connoisseurs, and yet they had an insight into the way wine was, and they were just so delighted that somebody took their palates seriously. They were great people. Within the wine show, the story that I think caught me the most was the Garage Wine Company in Chile. It was a friend of mine, Derek, but I'd never visited him. He rebuilt lives and was really rebuilding a whole community through his work in really just grafting Carignan onto very old rootstock and helping people who had these magical vineyards that were ancient vineyards to produce wine that they could sell overseas and not just for cheap Pisco. And watching the impact that that work had had and meeting the people, but also tasting the wine, which is creating a new generation of wine for Chile, was utterly fascinating and multi-layered. There were so many parts to it.
Why would you say the secret of the success of the wine show is?
I think that one of our rules when we make the wine show is that you could do every story and never mention wine once, and it would still be an interesting story. What we show is how wine is integrated into things that are very meaningful for all of us. Amelia, my co-presenter, and I are the only two wine people who are really part of the show. The researchers and the producers are great wine lovers, but they haven't come from the wine trade, the wine background. They are television professionals, so they make a beautiful, glossy TV show. And we do work with magical people. Our cameramen spend hours, I know because I have to wait, creating beautiful landscapes and images that bring the stories then to life. But when we work, and it's mostly the researchers and producers, but when we work together on creating the stories, we create these fascinating stories about what happens when an earthquake strikes a region, or what happens when immigrants arrive in a country, you know, what happens when spies need to travel around France, and then look at how wine influenced that. And so if you're a wine lover, it's fascinating because you discover the stories behind some beautiful wines, and we always make sure the wines we talk about are among the best and not necessarily the most expensive, but really good examples of what they are. But also, lots of people who watch the show are not wine lovers or didn't think they were wine lovers. And we get a lot of communication, I don't drink at all because, for instance, of religious reasons, or I just don't drink, but I love the show. And we get lots of people who say, I didn't drink wine very much, but you've made me fall in love with wine and the stories. We have at least, I think, the last count, half a dozen or so people who've told us that they did their honeymoon based on the wine show, and they went to various resorts. And that's very special, because if they'd said, oh, my wedding wine I chose because of the show, that's one thing. I went to this place because of the show. It's very special.
That's amazing. What's your relationship with your Italian origin?
Well, it's a long time ago. My ancestors, my great-great-great-grandfather was from Italy, from Bellagio on Lake Como. And we know exactly where he was from. And he and his brother travelled to fight for the Duke of Wellington in Belgium, at the Battle of Waterloo. And they carried on up to Yorkshire. And you find lots of Fattorinis in Yorkshire. It's a very well-known Yorkshire name. People say, oh yes, Fattorini, that's a Yorkshire name, and people think you're mad. But that's where they lived. And now Fattorini is famous in England as a maker of trophies. Our famous football cup, the FA Cup, was made by my great-grandfather. So we settled there. And as a child, I used to come back almost every year to Bellagio. I'm coming this summer, actually, so I'm coming with my children. But whilst I have an Italian name, we are really not very Italian after more than 200 years of living in the north of England. We're very much Yorkshire Italians, but part of a proud tradition.
Thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed our first IWSC podcast.